Welcome to Radio Mojo Plus, brought to you by Pyology Pizzeria and by Southern Glaciers Wines and Spirits, proud supporters of the food and beverage industry in Hawaii.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Joe McGarry, plus Bobby Curran, here to bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii with a tiny wee bit of sports thrown in, although today it's a big lot of sports thrown in because it's a really very exciting weekend before Super Bowl, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and not only that, I think Super Bowl, of all the days for football, mm-hmm. I think the Super Bowl Sunday might be the best of the combos of food and football, food and sport. It might be the number one day across the American sportscape.
Do you think everyone still is excited about it because it's got a slightly different vibe, or is it kind of just the same because everyone, you know, stays home and eats a lot of food and watches TV?
I think that the only difference is there a lot of people hold Super Bowl parties with lots of people mm-hmm. that I think probably are down because of, hopefully it's
we
down,
hope, yeah.
Yeah, because of the pandemic and restrictions and protocols, et cetera. But I still think that's not going to change the fundamentals of people really wanting to have good things to eat and to drink and to be watching the game. I think that hasn't changed.
In fact, the appetite for it may be even more this year. It'll be interesting to see. One of the things I love about the Super Bowl is the statistics. So I love to see, you know, how many people watched a certain ad. I like to see how much they've spent on the ad. I love to see how much food was eaten. You know, they always put these statistics out saying, like, for example, guacamole is the second most eaten thing on Super Bowl Sunday, and the amount of guacamole we eat covers about, you know, 76 football fields or something, like, really stupid.
Yeah. But is the number one thing wings?
The number one thing is chicken wings.
That's what I would have bet, yeah.
The number two thing is guacamole, and then it's chili, and then it kind of dilutes down a bit to sort of people's favorite things, you know, like whether it's pizza or, you know, all kinds of chips and dip, obviously, is massively huge up there. But, yeah, that's the number one thing. So I love seeing all those statistics. So it'll be interesting to see this year if they change somewhat. Because, you know, I'm assuming guacamole sales are ginormous, but tons of people buy guacamole. So maybe, I don't know, let's see if it's any different.
I have to tell you, I've been bragging on you a little bit
my
show.
What?
Well, because you have done for many years.
I should say, oh, yes, I know, I heard you. Instead, I'm like, oh, no, what did you say?
No, I mean, right. Well,
that was a bit of a slip.
But anyway, because you have done, you know, some special things for
yes.
the food.
Uh-huh.
And both in volume, because there's always a ton of different choices. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, while you've done the wings, and I know the boys, I heard one of them kind of talking to you, because they do love the wings.
Oh, no, but we're doing something different this year. What we're doing is, I hope this isn't sort of a travesty to say this, but I actually think wings are best just boiled up for chicken stock. I just don't see the point in eating wings.
Really?
I just don't see it. But I think the drumsticks are really worth putting a lot of effort into cooking. You know, I mean, you can
that's considered when you get chicken wings.
Drumsticks then?
Well, but they don't call it that. You don't go to Buffalo Wild Wings and they, you know, and you think you're getting,
just
you don't
wings.
Order drumsticks. You get a mix of actual wings and drumsticks. That's how they come.
In our house, there are no wings. It's just drumsticks.
All right.
So I'll tell you what we're doing, though, because I'm really excited about this. So as you know, I've been perfecting this recipe for a roasted chicken, which is the easiest, simplest roasted chicken on the planet, but also the best. And I'm saying that unequivocally, and I will cook it for anybody who says they don't like roast chicken or it's dry. Because it just is the most beautiful, moist bird, and anyone can do it. Anybody. I mean, a seven-year-old could do it if you monitored them with the heat. So I'm taking the principles of that and applying them to drumsticks.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good.
So today we're going to be marinating. Finn is helping me with this, which is exciting. So we're going to be marinating the drumsticks in buttermilk for at least 36 hours. And then when the buttermilk marinade has done its work, and it does a beautiful job, let me tell you, we're going to take them out and dry them, air dry them in the fridge, so by Sunday they've had this gorgeous soaking in the buttermilk, which gives them, you'd think it would just be like the same as milk, but it's completely different. It really has a huge effect. Not only does the skin become so white, it stays moist forever. And then we're going to air dry them, because that's a trick that I use when we're doing the turkey, to get the turkey skin crazy crisp. And then we're just going to bake them in the oven, because my theory is they'll be so well marinated and so well air dried and seasoned that they're going to instantly crisp up in a hot oven, and you're going to have the most moist turkey drumsticks you ever, I mean chicken drumsticks you ever had. Well, does that sound good?
Yeah, it does sound good, but I'll look forward
it's
to
a little
that.
Bit
now,
thinking.
I told you when you asked, I mean, you've done over the years actually printed menus for
yes,
some of this stuff.
Yes, I do.
And then for a long time, like, one of the things that was maybe, I guess, probably in Louisiana, it's quite common at Super Bowl parties, but you were doing gumbo. You were doing a lot of gumbo.
Yes.
And I don't know if you, what your plans are this year on other things, but I did request the one thing because we have that lump crab meat. And
right.
I'm sure. I don't know if you're going to make a dip or what exactly you'll do with that, but I am looking forward to it.
Yeah. So gumbo, I think, is essential for Super Bowl Sunday weekend, because the thing about gumbo is you can have a little tiny cup of it, but it's just getting better and better. So I did something that really is ridiculous in terms of how much I prepare, but because gumbo gets so much better as you leave it to sit, I actually made it a few weeks ago.
You're kidding me. I didn't even
and
know this.
I froze it. So there's gumbo frozen. It was
wow.
Resting for a while. There's gumbo frozen. And my plan is to use that gumbo as the starter for a crab gumbo on Sunday. So we'll have this very intensely flavored, already cooked gumbo. So you don't have to start all over.
That's
you know, because when you start the gumbo, it's really impossible, because you make a roux that takes about 30 minutes. It really is impossible to get the maximum complexity of flavor out of it unless it's 3 days old, I think. You know, 2 days old, 3 days old, then you're really going, oh my gosh, this is incredible. So we've got that. Yes, that's going. Anything else?
I think I'm happy. One thing I will say, that usually it's such a wealth of items and choices. It's almost too much.
Well, this year is going to be limited but excellent. So, for example, the dip, that one of the dips that we're going to have is just not a traditional, you know, we're just not going to do chips and dip. So we're doing hummus, which I am not making. I refuse to make hummus. I've made it twice. It is completely not worth the effort. If you start with dried garbanzo beans, which I did.
Okay.
That's a 3-day process that nobody on the planet has time for. So buy hummus. They have very good hummus at Whole Foods and everywhere else, actually. It's hard to mess up hummus. So hummus and the other dip that we're doing with it. So instead of chips and salsa, we're doing pita chips, which are very simple to make, with tzatziki, which is that Greek beautiful yogurt, dill, garlic, lemon juice dip that I think is just so much more refreshing. You just don't get all bogged down with kind of the, you know, chips, salsa, whatever, cheesy things. We're not having any cheesy dip things. Anyway.
Okay, that's all right.
How's that sound?
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it. I love it. I also love, and this has been going back for a while, I just heard from some very prominent member of our community that was saying, kudos for me telling everybody that earlier in the show, that in my show, that I just think this is the one. This is the one to watch this game with your nuclear family, and which you might not ordinarily do. But, I mean, it's a great time. And one of the things I love about the Super Bowls, because it's the time with the boys that, you know, we're all together. And, hey, listen, it wouldn't have happened without the food. That was sort of the come-on for this whole thing. But it's really a big part of what I look forward to.
And now it's a tradition, you know, in many people's family, of course. But I think in our family, it's a tradition of putting food in the living room. And the boys will come in for that, like, oh, look at this. We're watching TV and eating. It's
right. When they were little,
cool.
That was the big that was the big come on.
It's
they were
still
allowed.
Big, though, because, you know, we don't do that, right?
Right.
So it's still a big thing. So, yeah, no, I think anything that any tradition that fosters any kind of bonding, and people who have teenage children will know, so much more important at this age than you could ever have imagined. It's just a really good thing. So, yeah, I'm all for it. And I'm really actually looking forward to the commercials this year, because I think there, sometimes you see snippets of commercials and you just think, well, maybe you don't think, but I do. I just do eye rolling. I'm like, oh, really? That's what you could come up with for $6 million? But it looks this year like there's a couple of really fun ones. And I think what's happened with the commercials is it's exactly what's happened with almost everything else around the world. People have had to get more creative really quickly to make things that stand out and are different and are meaningful. I think we're going to see very meaningful commercials this year, heartfelt commercials, people who really are showing that they're companies who actually have a bit of a conscience. So I think all of that is going to be really interesting.
Okay, now I have to ask you, this is the acid test.
Oh,
because
God.
You do all these other things around the Super Bowl.
You aren't going to ask me who's playing, are you?
I am. Who's playing?
No, don't ask me that.
That's what I was going to ask you.
No.
I said, who's in the Super Bowl? Can you tell me either of the teams that are in the Super Bowl?
No, don't ask me. I think Tom Brady is playing.
Right. Do you know what team he's on?
I'll
give you a clue. It's not the New England Patriots.
Is it Kansas
No,
City?
That's the other team.
Oh, there you go. I got one team then.
Yeah, one team.
I'm
but so that's
embarrassed
the
now. At least I've warmed up. I was really cold before, but now I'm really
You got one of the quarterbacks on the other team. That's pretty good. Tampa Bay Bucks with Brady. And, of course, Patrick Mahomes.
I knew it was Patrick Mahomes. I could have said that, actually.
He's the big star from Kansas City. So we all think it's going to be a great game. But, listen, you do your part of this very well. It's my job to know who's playing and other assorted facts. But you are the one that's in charge of the food. And if it wasn't...
Thank God. It wouldn't be any good if I was in charge of the sports part.
Well, let's thank God we don't have... Well, now we have actually either of the boys could really help you because they're both pretty good in the kitchen.
Yeah, they're really
They've
good.
Learned.
It's all good. We're going to talk to some people who are very good in the kitchen today. Actually, one of our guests, the chef who's coming on in the second part of the program this morning, is the owner of Fendu Boulangerie in Manoa Marketplace. And I have long been a huge fan of his. Neil Kopp is the owner. And he is just a very seriously passionate baker. And you'll remember, Bobby, this time last year, well, you know, a month from now, when lockdown started, around the world, people started baking. It was a phenomenon. People, for some reason, felt very comforted by baking and the smell of yeast. And, of course, the first things to sell out after Clorox wipes and toilet paper were baking ingredients around the entire world. It wasn't just in Hawaii. It was everywhere. All the way through Europe, you could not find flour or oil or butter or eggs to bake with. Sugar went. Everything went. And it was because people were at home baking. So we're going to talk to him today a little bit about what he called the sourdough revolution, which I really thought was quite funny. Everyone was making sourdough like they just discovered it, when in fact it's one of our oldest forms of naturally fermenting yeast. So that's going to be really fun. And he has a gorgeous bakery shop. And if you've never been to it, he's tucked away and kind of at the back of by Long's, on the back side of that marketplace at Manoa Marketplace. He just does every single thing in his bakery is excellent. So whether it's just a small slice of pizza or a sandwich or a croissant or one of his incredible daily breads, you're getting what you would get in a French patisserie. And it's really wonderful. So I want people to know more about him. So we're going to talk to Neil in just a little bit. And right after this break, we're going to welcome back to someone who we haven't spoken to since the beginning of lockdown. Kenway Chong is going to join us. He's the owner, of course, of our favorite gelato shop, Gelateria. And he's going to chat with us about how they had to pivot and change and adapt their business model and how they're doing right now. And I can tell you they must be doing quite well, because I've been trying to buy pints of Asahi for about 3 weeks and they keep selling out. So we're going to have a chat with Kenway coming up. So stay with us. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu, 92.7 FM and 1420 AM.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Jo McGarry. We do this every Thursday morning. We bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii, plus a little bit of sports. We've done our little bit of sports this morning, I hope, because I don't want to get asked any more sporting questions. Before we chat with our next guest this morning, Kenway Chong, I have to say that I'm really glad. Well, I can't say that there's nobody listening in Scotland, because I do know that we do actually have quite a lot of people who download our podcast actually in Scotland. But I'm having to give back my Scottish card this morning because I'm actually freezing and it is only like 66 degrees, and which is a warm summer's day where I come from. So the fact that I've got a scarf on doing my radio show, I'm thoroughly ashamed of myself. So if you are listening in Scotland, please disregard the fact that we think that it's extremely cold here today, because it really is. Kenway Chong is the owner of La Gelateria Hawaii. You can find them at Cedar Street. They are our best and finest makers of Italian-style gelato, and we love what they do. Kenway is with us. Hi, Kenway. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Jill. I was freezing this morning, too. I live at the top of a mountain, and I woke up shivering. It really is cold, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
What do you think it was where you were? Was it in the, like, below 60?
I don't know. I don't have a thermometer up there, but it was cold.
There you go. I feel better now. It's not just me. Well, you work in cold all the time. You work in refrigerated conditions. You work with a cold product.
I don't sleep in a freezer jacket. When I go into the freezers at work,
so funny. Kenway, last time we spoke with you, you were like everyone else in Hawaii, adapting and changing your business model and trying to find out how you could serve people in the best possible way. We're, believe it or not, incredibly almost a year on from that. I mean, the middle of March is not that far away. What are some of the things that you learned from last year, and how has that affected the way you do business?
You know, it's amazing that a year has gone by already. You know, we've just been really fortunate that, I mean, obviously with the PPP has been very helpful. The Hawaii Small Business Relief Fund's been great. And the community's been fantastic. You know, although a lot of our wholesale clients had to shut down for periods, you know, they've been coming back on. We've lost some valued customers to closures, but, you know, others are coming back on and, you know, we're resuming some of our wholesale side. You know, with the shutdown initially in March and then again in the summer, you know, we really had to pivot to our retail focus. And so that's something we hadn't done before on a concerted basis. And, so we redeveloped a new website called lgtogo.menu. And we really built the retail side, which has been a godsend. And luckily, due to a lot of great supporters and community, it's really helped us through this. And so it's become a large part of our revenue now. And it's been a lot of fun. It's definitely much more frequent interaction with people. And the feedback's been fun to hear and the requests and so forth. So, you know, just kind of pivoting to the retail side and listening to the retail customers, what they want, what they like, and trying to cater to that has been a new side of the business we've built and a lot of fun doing it.
Now, that's not something I'm guessing that you would have done if this hadn't happened. I mean, it wasn't on your business plan to go ahead and divert to retail.
It wasn't. You know, to the extent that we considered retail before, it was looking at, you know, putting pints in markets, which we hadn't done. We considered a couple times, but really hadn't moved forward with that because we were so busy with just the wholesale side. And so you're right. I mean, had COVID not happened, we wouldn't have the energy or the resources to put into focusing on retail direct necessarily. You know, we've always took the remnants of our large batches and put them in cups and pints and people stop by throughout the day and buy them, but never really a concerted effort to market and promote and to continuously engage with the retail customer in that way.
Have you changed a lot of product? Because one thing about dealing in the retail industry, which I know you'll now be really aware of, is people are a lot more vocal about what they want, and they show you immediately. If they like something that you're doing, you're going to get lots of orders and it will sell out. And if they don't like it, they're not coming back to order more. Unlike wholesale, where you're doing something in such batches, change comes around a little bit more slowly. Has that part been interesting? I mean, have you put new things on the menu that you might not have?
Absolutely. You know, with the wholesale customers, you know, it's the 80-20 rule where the bulk of our sales has typically been the 20% of flavors that we do. So they're going to be the Tahitian vanilla beans, the macadamia nuts, the green teas on the gelato side, on the sorbetto side, the mangoes, the lychees, coconuts, and so forth. As we start looking more at the consumer direct effort, you know, the preference for flavors is much more unique. And so, like this holiday season, we did a peppermint and white chocolate bark gelato, and kind of looked at you know, the peppermint bark you buy at Williams Sonoma or other places that's delicious. And so, trying to take something that we consumers like and people get excited about, and create a gelato around it, and that went absolutely ridiculous. So we did a big batch to start off. We promoted it, and it was sold out in 2 hours. So we did three batches the next day, and we sold out by the end of the day. And so it's been absolutely. And now that the holidays are over, we're getting people asking, are you still going to have it on the menu regularly? Because we want to keep buying it. And so it's not just the holiday flavor. It's become something that probably will remain available on our website. And then another thing, like, you know, the restaurants, we've talked to them before about doing things that were low sugar or diabetic friendly. And some had interest, but it was never really a resounding interest. On the consumer direct side, it has been. And it actually started off with my father, who's pre-diabetic and loves gelato. And so initially I made just a plain vanilla, no added sugar gelato for him, and loves it. And so we've done strawberry sorbetto, chocolate gelato, and we're now going to release Kona coffee, no added sugar. And these, you know, the stigma with no added sugar or sugar-free is that you have this kind of odd aftertaste from the artificial sweeteners or the stevia type of thing. We've been able to develop it so it doesn't have any aftertaste, and actually the texture in the body tastes just like a regular gelato. It's pretty cool. And so, like, my family now prefers the NAS to our regular products because they don't really detect a difference from the normal, but they know that they're getting a lot less sugar in it. So that's been fun, and those have been selling fantastic. So those have been neat to develop.
So I love to hear that, because I think that's one of the sort of small lights in what's been, you know, what was a very dark time, and hopefully we're, you know, coming way out of it. Is that a lot of retailers and you know, restaurateurs have adapted their menus, and they've changed and they've cut costs, and I can't tell you how many restaurant people I've spoken to who realized they were just spending way too much on way too many menu items, and what people actually want are kind of pared down menu of absolute firm favorites. And it's for all of that. I think at the end of this, somebody should write a book for, you know, the restaurant industry on all the good things that happened and how people changed for the better because of a direct interaction with retailers, with customers. I think it was coming anyway. I think people were really getting very focused on ordering everything online, but I don't think we imagined we'd be buying our food online quite so quickly.
Yeah, sure.
So that's been the interesting thing.
There's definitely been a number of silver linings that COVID has brought about. As disastrous has been in so many cases, there have been some great things. And, you know, first and foremost is just kind of forced family time with the shutdowns, which is really nice. But aside from that, the
precious family time, we're supposed to call it.
Well, absolutely. It is. It's precious, yes, but we've been forced to have a lot of precious family time, I should say.
And then, you know, that's funny, because we were just talking about that earlier. In that a lot of people are so used to being on Super Bowl Sunday in huge groups and going to big parties. And one of the things that we're really, you know, hoping people will take on board is stay at home with your own family. It's an amazing day to get everybody together just in your small nuclear family. Watch the commercials, laugh at what's going on, eat some fantastic food. It doesn't have to be go to a massive big party. Change that routine up. And what we're also going to say, of course, is everyone should definitely be ordering gelato. But what I don't want to do now is I don't want to overwhelm your amazing staff, because I know that you are very busy. Tell us about that, right? How are orders? How is it going? Because the one thing that we always want to do is help businesses not add to their problems. So are there things that you have for specials for Super Bowl weekend? Are there things that we can order now knowing that you guys have them?
Yeah, well more business is never a problem. It's always a welcome thing to deal with. But yeah, I think, you know, for Super Bowl, you know, a lot of people have been ordering acai. It's just great for, you know, any time of day. But, you know, as you get to late morning, early afternoon, it's just a nice snack. And it's a nice snack that's healthy and delicious, as you've known from ordering acai. And people are just ordering just different types of desserts. And whether they want to, you know, they're making a big, you know, great football fair or meal, and just want to have a nice dessert to it. So whether it's cakes or our bombs or a lot of our gelato cookie sandwiches. So right now we're running a promo for our lg2go.menu site where you buy $30 of product and you get some free cups or you get some free gelato cookie sandwiches to go with it. And so we try to run these types of promos every week, and it keeps our customers engaged and coming back. And it's been a lot of fun to hear what people like and what they don't like.
I'm going to talk a little bit with you for a few minutes about your cakes, because I think one of the most gorgeous looking things on your LG To Go website are without doubt the Kona coffee cake, the Neapolitan cake, and this beautiful paradise cake, which absolutely is like a little taste of Hawaii with mango and coconut and guava all together. They're really beautiful. They've got to be high up with people ordering once they've ordered them once.
Well, once people know to order them, yeah, they certainly are. And we have people coming back for every, you know, dinner they go to or party they have or gathering, they're ordering our cakes, which is really nice. And so we offer 5 to 6 different cakes sometimes when we add new ones. But yeah, nice little variety. And they're either the Paradise Cake, which, as you mentioned, is the guava, coconut, and mango sorbetto, is the only one that's non-dairy. All the others are gelato-based.
Yeah. They're just absolutely delicious. And I think the Neapolitan cake, having grown up eating only Neapolitan ice cream when I was a child because it was the cheapest possible thing that you could get in the supermarket, and it used to come in this horrible thin cardboard box, I remember, and by the time you got it home, it was all leaking out of the corners of the cardboard. And I've never eaten it since just because I have not good memories of that. But this one will change my mind. Your Neapolitan cake looks really incredible with the chocolate gelato on top, and it's gorgeous. You guys are doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah, the nice change on that is we use chocolate and strawberry and pistachio instead of vanilla, which a lot of Neapolitans use.
Yeah, they're just gorgeous. The bombs, of course, too, are something all of their own. They're so beautiful. I know you were just mentioning your new flavor that people now want to be one of your standards, but you definitely do have, like, your standard gelatos and sorbettos that you could not take off your menu. Share with us what they are.
You know, obviously the first one's Tahitian vanilla bean. I mean, it goes with everything, especially for restaurants. Most of the desserts, whether it's a cake or a brownie, Tahitian vanilla bean is far and away the largest seller on the commercial side or the wholesale side. And then, flavors like macadamia and green tea, Kona coffee are probably the next three on the gelato side. And so we always have those in stock in wholesale sizes, but also cups and pints. And then on sorbetto side, the mangoes, the lilikoi, lychee, coconut, those are all sorbettos we always have as well, and you just can't remove those. And really, most of the flavors we've done over the years, we keep offering over time. We don't always have them. It depends on if somebody wants us to make a special batch, but we're always adding new flavors, which is a lot of fun. One of the things we're doing for Thanksgiving that's kind of fun is we're doing our red velvet cake gelato, and we're dipping in Italian chocolate. And so we're making bombs out of it. And so restaurants often request items for Valentine's Day. We used to do a raspberry sorbetto heart dipped in chocolate, and now we're doing the red velvet cake gelato dipped in chocolate.
So that would be a perfect Valentine's gift. I mean, that's the nice thing about gelato, right? You can give it as a gift, and it's always very well received. You know, it's not like, I mean, you don't want to give your sweetheart a cake necessarily, but you definitely can give them a heart-shaped gelato for dessert, and that's something that's really amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're all individual portions, so they're easy to place. So if you're having a few people over for dinner, or if it's just two of you, it's just easy to pop on a plate, and if you want to garnish it, then it's delicious.
We're talking with Kenway Chong. He's the owner of La Gelateria Hawaii. You can find them at lagelateriahawaii.com or lg2go.com. And that's the site where you'll see all of the online products that you can order. And the ordering is really simple. So you order on the website, then you just go pick it up. And actually, the picking up experience is quite nice because you do have a very cute little store on Cedar Street. There's something very sort of artisanal, I think, about the whole process of standing in line and waiting for everyone to pick up their little pints of ice cream. I personally love that part of it. And
well,
again,
great.
That's not something you would have had happen really before this.
Well, people used to come in, and they actually came in through our front doors, and they would open. We have a glass door for you. They would kind of browse and choose what they wanted. But because of distancing right now and minimized contact, we have a table outside. We take their name at the door. We match it to the order, and we bring the order outside to them in the parking lot. So it's very easy, and all the payment is handled online. So it's a different experience, but it's definitely one that's necessary because of the times. Yeah.
And it's still a fun one. It's still a really fun one. I'm just looking right now at these gorgeous big pints of mango sorbetto as well and just being able to taste them. Right, we've got you going there for Super Bowl. You've got your desserts for Super Bowl Sunday can be all tied up by La Gelateria. And then don't forget, it's Valentine's Day, like, I don't know, next Friday or something. So that's coming up really soon as well. And you need to get something organized for that. La Gelateria is an easy place to go. LG2go.com is where you will find the menus.
It's actually LG2go.menu.
Okay. LG2go.menu. Okay. But if you go to La Gelateria Hawaii, that will redirect you as well, or no?
Yes, there's a link there to our online store.
Okay, so people will find you all over it. Kenway, it's lovely to talk to you. I'm so happy to hear that things are going very well and that you guys are continuing to bring us new flavors because it's very important. It's great to talk with you. Thank you for taking the time.
All right, take care.
Kenway Chong, he's the owner of La Gelateria Hawaii. They are on Cedar Street, and of course you can order online and go pick up your favorite gelatos. They are absolutely gorgeous. They're just made of the highest quality. They're absolutely fantastic. The flavors are great. And as you heard, they have a new line of no added sugar. So for people who do need to watch their sugar intake and feel that they can't have as much sweet things as they would like, then here's a new option for you. We're going to go and take a short break. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
This is Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu.
Welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Jo McGarry. We do this every Thursday. We bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii with a little bit of sports thrown in. This week, of course, we are focusing on the food of the Super Bowl. As most of you now know, I'm not specifically focused on the football of the football, but definitely on the food. And we love to bring you places that are doing exceptional work that you may not have heard of. Many of you, of course, are very familiar with Neil Kep, the chef owner of Fendu Boulangerie in Manoa Marketplace, but many of you may not have meandered up there and found him and his incredible work. So we're very happy to be chatting to him this morning. Hey, Neil, how are you?
Hi, Joe. Good. And yourself?
Thanks for having me on. It's so nice. Yeah, no, it's nice to chat with you again. It's been a while. I've been a big fan of yours for a really long time, but how long have you been up there in Manoa Marketplace now? It's been quite some time.
This March it'll be 12 years for us.
12 years of passionate baking. Yeah, I bet it does. First question, of course, we have to ask is, how are you and how has your business been during the pandemic? Were you badly affected, or did you manage to, because you are a walk-in, pick-up, take-out kind of a place, how was it?
Right. You know, I'm very lucky. I have the best customers in the world. They have supported us. Our sales are off by maybe 7% if I compare last quarter to this quarter. But I really can't complain. I really have some great customers. They really support us. And my concept has always been a takeout type of a concept anyway. It's not like we've lost tables inside or anything. So, you know, we just take it each day as it comes. We just try to make the best food that we can so people have some value with what they're buying, yeah? But so far, we're still open.
Open. You're open because you have good customers, because you have an amazing bakery. And, you know, I think one of the things that instantly impresses people when they come into your bakery is you look like a European bakery. You have the bread that you would find in a bakery in France. You have just gorgeous patisserie that you make fresh every single day. Where did your interest in pastry and baking start?
You know, there's a small French restaurant in Rumson, New Jersey, called the Fromagerie. I had worked there when I was in high school. And, you know, started out as a pot washer, and they did the pantry work, and then they showed me how to make their desserts. And I really liked to do it, and they liked having me do it. And I spent a few years there, and I still didn't decide on this as a career until probably in my mid-20s or so, yeah. But I've had the opportunity to work in some very good places, always small scale and focus on quality. And I've had some very good instructors as well and some mentors that have really helped my career out, yeah. So I've been lucky in that aspect. I've had good work experiences and great formal training.
And a real passion for the bakery and for everything that you make. Because I think the thing about bread, Neil, and correct me if I'm wrong, is if you're not kind of feeling the dough, if you're not sort of into making bread, it can be a very difficult thing. I mean, people look at gorgeous loaves of bread and think, oh, that's wonderful, there's very few ingredients. But it really isn't about that. There's a sort of magical element to making bread, I think. Do you agree?
Well, yes. I mean, I view the whole bread process more of a technical thing than as far as magic, yeah. People struggle with it sometimes is they don't know why they're doing things. They're just doing it because that's what they've read in a book or something, yeah. But if you know the technical aspects of the amount of water and the percentages of yeast and things, it's much more technical than anything else. But it's a lot of work is what it is. I've had people... They want to make bread, and I bring them on in, and they just, it's too much work for them. You know, the bags of flour are 50 pounds. You're bending over. You're pulling big pieces of dough out of the mixer. You're dividing them. You're shaping them. You have to time the proof. I mean, it turns out to be a lot of work, and it's more than what a lot of people would really care to do, yeah? But you have to love doing it to do it every day. There's no doubt about it.
Do you still love it as much as you did when you opened 12 years ago in Manila? Does it still have that same feeling for you every morning when you open up?
Yes, absolutely. I've never lost. I mean, if you don't have that, you won't do this. I mean, right. The amount of work every day is so much. And you have to predict, like, you know, our first two rows are all perishables. And the breads are all perishables. So you kind of have to predict the quantities to make as well, you know, so, but you have to want to do this every day, otherwise you just won't. I mean, I've known people that have done it for 5 years and they get out of it. It's nothing like working in a hotel. It's completely different. You have to be the GM. You have to be the repairman. You have to do all these things other than baking, yeah. But I still love it. I still enjoy it, and I want to do it longer yet, yeah.
Oh, we're so glad that you do. How many different loaves do you make in a day?
Oh, let's see, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's about a dozen or so. All of them not large quantities. All small batches, and we use a pre-ferment in all of them, or a portion of each dough is mixed earlier in the afternoon, and then it goes into the final dough at night. And then we retard them overnight and bake them fresh in the morning. This way the fermentation is very long on them. A lot of my customers enjoy the bread because it's very digestible because there's a lot of fermentation involved in the process. We have no dough that comes right off the mixer, divided, shaped, and baked. So all of them have pre-ferments and long, slow fermentation times, which really makes the gluten much more digestible for people, yeah? And of course, we have our sourdough starter, or we call it the lavan, yeah, which really makes the breads really have good flavor and good shelf life, and the edible quality is there from the breads from the sourdough, yeah.
So sourdough, of course, is something that has become like almost a household name across the world ever since the pandemic. Something happened when people got locked in their houses, Neil, that they
it's
all
amazing.
Went, they just started baking bread. What sort of insight do you have on that? Why did that happen? Why did we all run to the kitchen when a major pandemic happened?
Well, people are home. They're working from home or they're not working. Flour is relatively inexpensive. And maybe a lot of the local food places are not even open. So, like, you know, they had this time. They probably something they've always wanted to do but never had the chance to. And you'd be amazed how many of my customers show me a picture. Look at the sourdough bread I made. I'm like, wow, and it looks great. And my wife's boss, I guide her a bit on what she does with the sourdough. But, I mean, it's just beautiful from these loaves people make. And they really love it because it tastes so good. And they made it from their hands. They made it themselves, you know. And it's very satisfying for the people. And it's a hobby. But now a lot of people are back to work, so they're back to buying it again. But it's really helped our sourdough sales for sure. I used to do the European style sourdoughs, which I still do, but I specifically made an American sourdough. These people walk in, they say we want sourdough, and that's what they're looking for. So we make it's not a San Francisco style. It's more of it's much lighter in the sourness, but it's a bit denser than our European style sourdoughs. Yeah. But it's a revolution of sourdoughs, what I call it. It's amazing.
It really is. I like the way you said that. It's a sourdough revolution where people who didn't really know, they just thought sourdough was a certain kind of thing and that's it. They didn't know how complex it was and how many different kinds you can have.
And they really appreciate it when they can come by it as well now. They know how much work it is.
That must be so gratifying that people are appreciating you more because they know how hard it is to get perfection every single day. That must be nice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
We're talking with Neil Kep. He's the owner of Fendu Boulangerie. It's in Manoa Marketplace. If you have never been, you have to put this little bakery on your map and go check out Neil and his staff. And the nice thing is that Neil's there every day. I mean, he's the baker, he's the owner, he's everything that a small business owner has to be, and he still has all the time to make the bread. How long does it take you? I mean, I know that you start the night before and you've explained that process, but are you in there like super early in the morning?
Well, no. Well, at about 10 o'clock now this morning, I'm going to mix the pre-ferments for the breads that we'll mix tonight. And now I've trained I have two boys. One is 26 and one is 24. They'll come in and they'll scale up the breads and mix them and shape them, and then we'll retard them overnight, which is a long fermentation that way. I'll come in the morning at about 6. We'll turn the oven on, and we start to fire the breads at about 6:30, 7 o'clock, all the way through to about 11. So the breads are coming out fresh, yeah? So it started at 10 a.m. in the morning, and it's not finished until about 11 a.m. the following day. The whole process of the bread making anyway, yeah?
Wow.
But that's typical of a European-style bakery, yeah, to do the pre-ferments and the long, slow fermentation, yeah? But a lot of it is timing. You have to be organized. You have to follow the formula. You have to follow the proofing times, and you have to get that organized, and then it'll run smoothly once everyone's in on board with that, yeah?
Now, Neil, you don't just make amazing breads. You make pizza every day. You have a wide range of wonderful sandwiches. People can stop in for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, pick up things to go. What are a couple of the things that if someone's coming to you for the first time and they walk in and there's just so many wonderful things to choose from, what are a couple of things that you would say to them, take these and this will give you an idea of exactly what we do and who we are?
Well, as far as pastry goes, some of our best sellers is our chocolate croissants and our lychee streusel Danish. And then, of course, our scones. We're doing an English tea type of a scone. It's not the large, very sweet American style. It's a smaller square, a bit more on the savory side. So as far as those pastries go anyway, when it comes to the hotline food, one of the most popular items is our chicken curry salad sandwich on our naan bread. We're using Thai spice for that and a lot of other things that go in there. But that and the chicken pesto panini, those two are biggest sellers as far as the hotline goes, yeah? The paninis take about 15, 20 minutes to be cooked all the way through. People call ahead and order them and come by and pick them up. But we probably have about 8 or 9 different sandwiches that are on the menu between breakfast and lunch. But those two are the most popular anyway, yeah?
And then we have, of course, we've got Valentine's Day coming up, which is a big sweet day, a big day for patisserie and for gorgeous cakes and desserts. And I would imagine people should start pre-ordering from you for some of your Valentine's specials.
Sure. I mean, heart-shaped everything.
Even brownies, heart-shaped
cookies,
bread.
You name it, yeah. Well, you know, I have a heart-shaped bread mold. I did the stolen bread in it last year, like a stolen heart bread, but it didn't really sell that well. But we'll probably do like the Italian sweet bread in the heart-shaped mold this year as a special, yeah. But I noticed it's the desserts would sell more, you know, the red color and the chocolate and the raspberry flavors and things that are heart shapes. But those are the items that really sell well because, you know, they're giving them to their spouses and things. Yeah. So I just got all the heart shaped molds out of storage again. I have to start getting their preps because it gets crazy up here, but it's fun.
Yeah,
that's fun.
I'm sure it does, especially with your affinity for chocolate and for making gorgeous chocolate cakes. Chef, tell us how to reach you. I know that people can call you and call ahead with orders. Give us that number so that everyone can find you.
Sure. Our front counter phone is 988-4310. And right now we're on reduced business hours. We're open from 7:30 a.m. until 3 o'clock p.m. That's 7 days a week. So, again, that the front counter phone is 988-4310.
Awesome. We will encourage people to give you a call, and I hope you start to see a few new customers who haven't been to see you before or who have not been for quite some time. I think the thing about Manoa is if you don't live in Manoa, you rarely make that trek up that one road to get in there, but
True.
It's well worth it to discover Fendu Boulangerie and Chef Neil Kep. It was lovely to chat with you. I'm so happy you took the time with us, and thank you for talking to us.
It was my pleasure, Joe. It's nice to talk to you again.
Take care. We are going to go for a really short break. Stay with us. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu, 92.7 FM and 1420 AM.
Hey, welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. Thank you so much for spending a bit of your Thursday morning with us. We appreciate it. We're so glad to have you along. And I hope you enjoyed the conversations today with Kenway Chong. We were very sweet today, weren't we? We were talking about pastries and bakeries and gelato and sorbetos and... Yeah, all of the good things. But, of course, you know, we have to be. It's a big eating weekend, Super Bowl Sunday weekend, and, of course, Valentine's Day just around the corner. And those two places together will have you covered, I tell you. I've brought home bakery goods from Fendu for you before, but I'm not sure that you've ever been into Fendu Boulangerie at Manoa Market.
I'm quite sure I haven't.
And it is, you would absolutely love it. It really is the closest to a European bakery that we have here. And the thing I love about Neil and how he operates is he's always been just an incredibly hard-working baker. He's like, he sort of is the typical baker, you know. He's in his store. He's passionate about every single thing. He knows if you ask him about one of the breads, he's going to tell you everything you need to know about that bread. And
maybe more.
Yeah, and it's just such a high level of quality. I was really happy to chat with him this morning. So hopefully we've given people a couple of good ideas to get things for their weekend.
Well, that could even, I can see some of that bakery stuff going a long way on Super Bowl Sunday.
No, for sure. And the bread is really addictive. And he's quite right. I think all the people who've tried baking at home, two things happen when you bake at home. One is that you realize it's incredibly difficult. And the other thing is you realize you get really fat because you keep eating it all the time. So you have to stop for one or the other of those reasons. Whereas when you're buying it from the baker, you know, it's an every other day kind of a thing, and it's much more manageable. So One of the things, I hope this works for other people, but when I do our show on Thursday mornings, I end up wanting to immediately go to the places that we're talking about, and often
had
do.
Had that effect on me just now.
Yeah, I know. You've often run out of here just and straight off to, where was that place we were talking about? So, Super Bowl coming up. I know everybody always wants to know about betting odds and predictions and all of those things. Is this one of the years that the betting odds are, like, kind of even?
Well, they've stayed it's stayed pretty much the same. It's basically been 3 points. I think it opened to 2.5.
You're not going to ask me what 3 points mean, are you?
No, it means that basically, Kansas City has been favored by 2.5 to 3. Right. Some places now supposedly are 3.5, but I've only seen 3 on an official line.
So it's not really a big deal, is it?
Well, it's a big deal, but it's a big deal if you're right or wrong. That's a big deal.
No, but I mean, it's not like...
It's close.
Yes, it's very close. So that is...
It's expected to be a good game.
Anybody's game.
Expected to be a good game, yeah.
Good. And do you have someone that you're favoring, or you're not saying?
Well, no. I've made a prediction. I'm predicting a final score of Kansas City 31, Tampa Bay 27.
Okay. And then I know the one thing that's interesting about Super Bowl, and forgive me if I sound like an idiot, but there is kind of a fun thing that people do where if you get one of the numbers at each quarter, you know, people do like
those are called square. They either call them square pools or mm-hmm. box pools. Same thing.
Okay.
Where you put 10 up, 10 down, right? 10 across, 10 down.
Right.
So you have 100 boxes.
Kind of a fun thing for people to
do. Then you put a name in, you put a money valuation on it. Let's say it's $5 a box. Mm-hmm. That means the total pool will be $500, so you might do $100 first and third quarter, and then, you know, halftime would be, you know, $150, and then $150
also
for the final.
Well, it wouldn't work for me because I'm lost already, but I know it will be a fun day, whatever. In our house, it will be a fun day, hopefully, because of the food, and hopefully because it will be a great, great game to watch with everyone. We hope you do the same. Stick to your nuclear family on this weekend. Watch it together. Treat it as a really good bonding experience and have a lot of fun. Thanks to our guests for joining us this morning, to Neil Kep from Fendu Boulangerie, and, of course, to Ken Wee Chong from La Gelateria. And thank you, Bobby, for always increasing my knowledge of sports.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Happy to be here.
We'll see you next time on Radio Mojo Plus.